All right, I want you to open your Bibles if you have one. If you don't, there's one in the hymn rack right there in front of you. And I want you to open your Bible tonight to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Now, I opened my Bible a minute ago and it automatically opened to Luke 2 because we have looked at Luke 2 several times here in the last couple of weeks. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 1. You follow along as I read. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I'll stop reading right there, and I want you to look back for just a moment at this 10th verse, and you'll see that the angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Now, there are three commandments in there, or three statements in there, that I want to develop my thoughts around tonight. First of all, you will see the little words, "Fear not, fear not." And then I want us to consider another little two words that are together there, and that's the word "good tidings." And then two more little words you will see in that at the end of that verse, "great joy," great joy. So fear not. And then secondly, we see good tidings. And then thirdly, great joy. And I want to share a couple of things from my heart with you tonight from this 10th verse. All right, let's pray together. And then the message. Now, our Father, we just thank you so much for the beautiful music. Thank you for those great hymns that we sung a few moments ago. What an encouragement, what a blessing. And I pray that you will help us now to focus our thoughts upon your eternal word. And Father, may the word of God speak to our hearts this evening. We are so thankful for our guests who are here with us tonight. And Father, we're of course thankful for our own people who are here and for those who are watching online tonight. And I just pray that you'll bless every heart. May the word of God make a difference in the way we live tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Christmas stirs the heart like no other time of the year. I think probably all of us can look back upon our lives, and we can remember some of those Christmases when we were growing up, and some of the experiences that we had. I remember one Christmas where it snowed so big, so deep. It just started snowing like the day before Christmas. And on Christmas Eve, it started that morning, and it just snowed and snowed and snowed. And when we got up on Christmas morning, there was probably about 2 or 3 feet of snow. We had one of those nor'easters that hit. And I can remember that that year I got a bicycle, which didn't do me a bit of good. For a long time, and I got a baseball glove, and you know, all the things that you could use in good weather, and I remember the irony of all of that. And then I remember a Christmas where it was 72 degrees, and I was probably about 10, maybe 9 or 10 years of age. And it was about 70 degrees. It was so nice outside. And that year, I got a sled. You know, Ziggy has Christmas. That's me. And but I can remember all those wonderful times growing up when so many things happened that you just never seem to forget. I remember my grandfather. He came to live with us when he was up in his later years. And I remember him sitting in his chair. That was his chair. Nobody touched his chair. And he would sit in that chair and spend the whole day sitting there reading the paper, watching TV or listening to the radio, and it was always great around Christmas time because he was so generous. He would not buy presents; he would just give you money. That's the best kind of gift, don't you think? Yeah, and so we loved it when he was at our house for Christmas. Well, one Christmas, I remember, I was about 9 or 10 years old, and my sister was just a toddler, just a little thing, maybe 4 years of age, maybe, something like that. And I can remember him, he'd start teasing, and he told my sister that there wasn't going to be Christmas tomorrow because there was a blizzard in the North Pole and Santa Claus can't get out. Well, my sister went berserk. I mean, she just absolutely went crazy. She started to cry, and we like to never got her calmed down. And my mom got mad at my grandfather, and my grandfather was started just pouring it on then. And so we ended up having World War III in our house, which made for a wonderful Christmas the next day. Yes, indeed. But I remember back to all those great Christmas days that I was blessed to have with my loving parents when I was growing up, and I'm sure that most people here you have good remembrances of Christmas as well, and we need to realize just how blessed we are. I asked my dad years ago when I was still at home. I said, "Dad, what was it like when you were a kid? What was Christmas like?" And he started to tell me about how that if you got something for Christmas, that it was a special thing. And I said, what did you get? Did you get any toys?" And he said, "Oh, no, we never got toys." I said, "Well, what did you get?" And he said, "Well, one year I got an orange." Yeah, the store down at the end of the road, up the holler from where we lived, you go down the end of the road and there was a store there, Ned Bowles' store. And Ned Bowles got a shipment of oranges in, and my grandfather stopped on his way home from the coal mines. He worked in the coal mines, and he stopped on the way home and bought an orange, and that's what he gave to my dad for Christmas. And then one year he got a pocket knife. He told me about the pocket knife that he got. And one year he got a box of 22 shells, I think he said. And so we don't realize, our kids today don't realize how good they have it. They just don't have any concept of the sacrifice and the difficulties that people had back in the early part of the last century. But I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for everything that God has allowed me to enjoy. And I thank God for the church that He allows me to pastor. I thank God for my family. I thank God for my children and for my grandchildren. And I just rejoice in all of the blessings of the Lord. I now want to take just a little time tonight, and I want to make Christmas about what Christmas is supposed to be about. And that's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to do so by taking just a couple of words out of this 10th verse and developing my thoughts around these words. What is Christmas? What's it all about? Well, Christmas is about alleviating the fears of life. If you look at that 10th verse, the Bible here says, "And the angel said unto them," the them is the shepherds, "and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." But notice that, fear not. You know, we live in a world today where so many people are plagued by fears. They have fears that haunt them at every turn of the road. There are many fears in our world today. Do you remember when you were growing up, that some of you that are a little older, do you remember when you were growing up and you could go to bed at night and you didn't have to lock the doors or lock the windows? Do you remember that? You can't do that today. You can't do that today. No way. Today in our society, we are fearful of what people will do. I have so many people tell me all the time that they don't go down to Baltimore anymore. They don't go down there. And why? Well, I'm afraid. You just can't trust anybody these days. And that's true. You can't. And it's a shame when we are fearful to leave our homes and to even just to go down to the inner harbor and enjoy some of the natural beauty that's down at the inner harbor. We have fears about the economy. We have fears about COVID. We have fears about our own country and Russia and what they're doing over there. And just any number of things can bring fear to our hearts today. But what was the fear in verse 10? What was it? Well, the fear in verse 10 is something that I want you to consider very carefully this evening. What the fear that these shepherds had was this. They feared the unseen world when it became seen. They feared the unseen world when it became seen. Now, just let that register with you for a moment. Could you imagine being out on those on the sides of those hills of Judea, below the city of Bethlehem, and you're watching the sheep? Most people believe that these shepherds were employed by the temple, and that the sheep that they were watching were the sheep that were that would be used for temple sacrifice. And so just imagine they're out there every day of their lives, every day and every night, tending those sheep. And as they are doing their duty and doing their responsibilities, all of a sudden, it's dark now, but all of a sudden, the night lights up. And the angel of the Lord appears to them. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that that would scare the daylights out of me. What do you think? Now, that's not something you see every day of your life, is it? Matter of fact, I've never seen anything like that, and neither have you. Because the unseen world rarely becomes the seen world. And so here in this passage of Scripture, this is one time when it did. And then all of a sudden, the heavens were just filled with the angels of God, and they were praising the Lord and giving glory to God. And those men are standing there looking up and seeing all of this happen right before their eyes. And so naturally, when the angel of the Lord appeared, what did that angel say? That angel said, "Fear not." Now let me ask you, what would be the antithesis of fear? Would it not be peace? Would it not be peace? I mean, if you had fear in your heart, and the angel told you, "Fear not," if you're going to get rid of that fear, what has to take fear's place? Well, it's peace, that's what. Peace has to take its place. And brethren, let me remind you that the Lord Jesus came into this world as the Prince of Peace. That's why our Lord came, was to finally bring peace to this world. And the only people today who truly have peace in their hearts are those who have read the Bible, understood that Jesus came so that he could die on the cross for their sins, and then they call upon the name of the Lord, and God gives them peace. That's where peace comes from. It comes from the Lord. Peace is not something you can go down to Boscov's and buy. It's not something you can go over to Target and ask one of the people in the red shirts, "Where do you folks have peace around here? I want to buy some." No, that's not how peace works, is it? Peace has to be given of God. Peace has to be given of God. And it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. All right? And love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things are given to us when we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy that we should have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, not the spirit of fear. But you know, probably the greatest fear that men have, and being in the ministry for all these years, I have noticed what is one of man's greatest fears. You see, when someone gets sick, when someone gets a report from the doctor that they've got terminal cancer, when someone finds out that they might not make it, all of a sudden, people start getting interested in the things of the Lord. I have gone to the bedside many, many times through the years, and I have stood there with an open Bible and sometimes with some of the most hardened people People who have been witnessed to over and over and over, yet they've said no to the Lord. But boy, when it comes time to have to go out and face the unseen world, all of a sudden, we get a little interested in how to be ready, don't we? And I don't blame anybody for that. I'm rejoicing every time. I have preached several funerals where I have stood up and used the thief on the cross who got saved right before he passed. And I've used that as an illustration because the person that was before me waited right to the end of their life before they got saved. But that's fine. I mean, they're just as saved as somebody who gets saved as a child. And they're going to the same heaven. And they're going to enjoy the same Savior. But folks, why wait till the end? I mean, why wait when God can take away the fear of death that we have right now? I've never met anybody that wants to die. Have you? I've never met anybody that wants to die. And I'll tell you another thing. I have never met anyone who wants to go to hell. I never have. I have asked a lot of people through the years, if you were to die and go out into eternity, do you know for sure where you'd go? And not one time has anybody ever looked at me and said, well, you know, preacher, I sure hope that I go to hell when I die. Nobody's ever said that to me. And I don't think anybody will. Because deep down inside, we all want to go to heaven, don't we? I know I do. So Christmas, that's when Jesus came. Why? To take away our fears. To take away our fears. To give us that perfect peace that passeth all understanding. So Christmas is simply about the unseen world showing up and then taking away the fears of the seen world. Man, oh man, there's nothing like trust in Christ as your Savior and in having that peace that passes understanding. Amen. I walked down the aisle when I was 16 years of age. I was just as wicked a sinner as I could be. And I walked down that aisle, got on my knees, and the youth pastor came and showed me from the Bible how I could know that I'm going to heaven. And he said, now, would you like to trust Christ as your Savior? And I said, yes, I would. He said, I want you to pray with me. And he led me in a prayer. I'm glad he did because I didn't know how to pray. But he led me in a prayer and I trusted the Lord right there on the right-hand side of that church. And I called upon the Lord and asked him to save me. Now, you know what I did when I got saved? I didn't get up and run around the church. I didn't do cartwheels down the aisle. All right? I didn't go around and hug everybody. No, I just sort of leaned back and I took a great big deep breath and I went, whew. And what I was doing was getting relief. Whew. Man, I'm glad that settled. Man, I'm glad that I got that resolved. Man, I'm glad that I've gotten my sins forgiven. And you know, right that instant, I'm going to be honest with you folks, not one time since have I ever feared death. Not one time since. I don't know if I told you all this, but back in 2010, when I was so sick with the Crohn's attack that I had, when I was so sick, there were two occasions about a week apart. But there were two occasions. One was in the hospital, and the other was before, right before I went to the hospital. But there were two occasions when I just sat there, or in one case, laid there, and I said, wow, this must be what it feels like to die. I literally thought, I'm dying. But you know what? I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid. Why? Because the Lord took away my fear years ago. And folks, that's why Jesus came. He came to give you eternal life. And one of the byproducts of that eternal life is peace. Oh, He'll give you peace so that you will have assurance that should something happen to you, you may close your eyes here in death, but you'll open them up there in heaven. Man, I don't know if it gets any better than that. What a gift that is. You know, we give gifts to one another, to those we love. We give gifts because of the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so we give gifts in honor of the fact that God gave us the greatest gift when He gave us His Son. I don't know of a greater gift than peace. The peace that passeth understanding. Second thing, I want you to understand that Christmas is about spreading the good tidings. You know what tidings are, right? You know what that word means. Tidings are simply news. Tidings are information. Let me say it that way. It's information. And the Bible here says that these are glad tidings, good tidings. So it's not just information, it's good information. So when the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, He immediately alleviated their fear and then immediately announced that He was bringing them some good information. What's that? Well, the Savior has been born. The Savior has been born. You know, sometimes we are so close to something that we miss it, you know? When I pastored down in West Virginia at Dixie, West Virginia, we were about 3 miles or so, 5 miles, I don't know, from where what's called the Gauley River, G-A-U-L-E-Y, Gauley River, that's one of the best whitewater rafting rivers in America, where the Gauley River comes into the New River, and then those two merge and it forms the Kanawha River, which runs down into the Ohio River, which runs into the Mississippi, which runs into the Gulf. All right, so we would drive down to Gauley Bridge, where the little town, and then go across the bridge, and we would start up towards Hawk's Nest on Route 60, Hawk's Nest State Park, and in the summertime, there was a golf course up there, and that's why I was heading up to Hawk's Nest State Park. We'd go up there to play golf all the time. And we would drive by, and we'd see campers. Campers. And, these Cadillac campers, you know. They're like a hotel on wheels, all right, these nice campers. And you see all these kids out there playing, and, you know, there's the big there's the big dog out there tied up, you know, and everybody's having fun. They're cooking on the open fire and all this. And we would just shake our heads and say, good grief, where are these people from? Where are they from? And so one day I kind of just swung around there. There were folks there from New York. There were folks there from New Jersey. There were folks there from Pennsylvania. And we just started talking amongst ourselves, said, who would want to come down here for vacation? I mean, why would anybody want to come down here for vacation? I know, man, we lived there. And it didn't impress us at all. But that was some of the most natural beauty that your eyes could focus on. And I asked some folks one time, they came up to visit the church, and I said, where are you guys from? And they said, well, we live in, they told me, I don't remember where it was now. And I said, well, what are you doing here? Well, we're on vacation. Why? You have family here? No. Oh, we love it here. You do? You know, I mean, shocked by that, really. Shocked by that. And sometimes we are so close to things, we miss it. We miss it. And folks, I think that we have heard the story of Christmas so many times and in so many ways that we miss what it's all about. And what it's all about is good tidings, good information. What's that information? The information is, finally, a Savior is born. Finally, God sent the Redeemer for mankind. You see, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, they were looking for him to come. And all the way through the Old Testament, they were looking for him to come. But here, he finally came. And you know what that means? That means that an old sinner like me could get saved. That my life could be transformed, changed. That everything could just be flipped upside down in my life. All my plans immediately changed. Instead of going to medical school, I'm going to Bible college. Everything changed. But I'm going to heaven too. Even that changed. So folks, I'm telling you, the news, the good news, was the birth of the Savior had come. And then lastly, I want you to look at those last words. Christmas is, thirdly, about great joy. We all love watching our children's faces when they come and see all the presents that are theirs. We all love to see that. We love the joy that's in their eyes and the sparkle that's in their eyes. What is joy? Well, joy is an emotion that we are able to experience along life's road. But you know, sadly, there's very little joy in this world today. Isn't that true? What happened to the joy? Remember the joy in your heart when your children were born? Do you remember that? I'll never get over that as long as I live. I've been thinking about that all week long put the thought in the message tonight. And I've just been thinking about it all week long. I'll never forget the joy when the doctor took Joshua and laid him up next to Karen, and she reached down and was snuggling him and kissing him on the top of the head. And I just remember the joy that was in my heart. I remember then 2 years later when the doctor put one and then put the other up on Karen's chest, and she held them tight and kissed one and then kissed the other. I'm telling you, there's nothing like like that joy that you feel when your children are born. That emotion right there, that's great joy. And folks, the angel of the Lord said that there was great joy because Jesus had been born. Why was there great joy? Because now you and I have a Savior. You and I have a Savior. And that's what caused those angels to start rejoicing. Finally, God's Redeemer had come. Finally, man had a way to calm his fears. Man had a way to find that Redeemer and get forgiven of their sins. And man had a way to have joy restored to his old sinful heart. Thank God for the joy that we receive in Christ. There's nothing like that either, folks. Nothing like that either. The Apostle Peter tells us that there is a second joyful time that's coming. You know what that second joyful time is? That's when our Savior is going to step out of heaven onto the clouds. And the trumpet of God is going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to be raised. And then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And Peter said, that's going to be a time of joy unspeakable and full of glory. Wow, what a day that will be. I hope that this Christmas you have that joy that comes from the Lord in your heart. I hope this Christmas that you have the fear that so many people carry with them all the time. I hope you'll have that fear just taken away and peace put in its place. It's available if you'll just receive it. Let's bow our heads for just a moment, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your eternal word. Thank you for the things that we have been able to see tonight. And Father, we realize that the wages of sin is death. That all of us have an appointment with death unless you step out on the clouds and call us home. But Father, all of us have that appointment. The question is, are we ready when it's our time to go? Are we ready? Well, Father, I know that what fear I had in my heart as a teenager, because of the way that I was living my life, what day I got saved, that fear was gone. And I have never feared death since. I'm so glad for the Redeemer who came and redeemed my soul. But Father, there may be someone here tonight, and they're not 100% sure that they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So I pray that you will speak to hearts. And Father, calm our fears tonight and help us to be assured of eternal life. Now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. If you're here tonight and you do not have assurance that you're on your way to heaven, you say, "Preacher, I just don't know for sure. I want to know for sure, but I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven." I wish you'd help me to understand what I need in order that I can know I'm going to heaven. Well, here's what you need to know. Jesus came and he died for you. He died on the cross and paid your sin debt. You see, we're all sinners, all of us. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, God's Redeemer, came so that we could have eternal life. Listen to this verse. For God so loved, now put your name there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, put your name there, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me ask you, dear friend, would you like to have that everlasting life tonight? Would you like to have that life tonight? You can have it right there where you're seated. If you're not 100% sure you're saved and you would like to receive the Lord as your Savior, I'm going to ask you if you will just pray a little prayer with me and you can receive the Lord. Now, you're not praying to me, you're praying to God. I'm not saving you. You're asking God to save you, and if you ask him, he will. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you'd like to trust the Lord right now, just pray with me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner, and a sinner needs a Savior. And right now, by faith, I call upon the name of the Lord, and I receive Christ as my Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I now claim him as my Redeemer. And thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it, would you just slip your hand up where I can see it and just say, Pastor, I prayed with you just a moment ago, and I want you to know that. Thank you, sir. Good. Anyone else? Anyone else? You prayed and asked the Lord to come into your heart and save you. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, Father, thank you now so much for speaking to hearts tonight. And Father, thank you for this precious soul who called upon the name of the Lord and trusted you as his Savior. And Father, I pray that you will bless this life. I pray that you will just draw this person close to you, and Father, help him to know and understand what you did for him just now. And Father, I pray that you'll keep the devil away from him. When the devil whispers in his ear that you're not really saved, Father, I pray that he'll have the strength to just tell the devil to go on back where he came from. Because the Bible cannot lie. God cannot lie. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he called, and you saved. And so, Father, thank you for saving that soul. And now I pray that you will dismiss us with your richest blessing. Father, I pray that you will bless our church family. Bless our visitors tonight. Thank you for each one that's here. And I just pray that you'll give us all a wonderful Christmas tomorrow. Bless now, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen.